park or wildlands like I do, take a moment to learn how to make your home or cabin survivable. Go to the internet to firewise.org or write to the Interior Department at Firewise, Washington, D.C., 20240. Take a moment. Save your life and your memories.
All right, then. It's 1 minute after 6 o'clock, and you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook. And that means it's time once again for an edition of Off the Wall. All right, let's just go right in on the drum roll because we have a shortened show tonight, an abbreviated show, because men's basketball at 6:45. Isn't that exciting? Actually, it's at 7 o'clock, but the pregame is at 6:45.
Not to me.
Wait, hold on. Why aren't you? Oh, because somebody hit that button. Why would someone hit that button? I'm sorry, Kyle. Say that again.
Not to me.
No, it's still not working. What's going on here? Okay. I don't know what button is hit, but your microphone is not working. Keep trying. Keep talking. That's the only way I can test it.
Get this straight. We're going to get a whole bunch of new...
It's not, you don't have a microphone. This is bizarre. I'm not sure what happened here. But something is not right.
All the spare microphones are connected. I don't know what
disconnected. Brand new studio, and it's not working. Kyle continues to talk, but nobody can hear him.
They're good.
Well, this AB button over here is lit. I don't know if that's been lit before, and I don't know how to unlight it.
Was it Zabby?
I don't know who did. Zabby. I don't know who did what, but if anyone is within earshot can help us figure this out, that would be nice because we have only one microphone apparently.
Okay, well let's.
Wow. Yeah, I'm sorry, Kyle, and we have four possible microphones, but only two are plugged in. We could put you in another room, except I don't know how to do that because I've never done that. Well, you could just lean over my shoulder too. Oh, he's gone. He left. Okay. Well, you know what? Let's play the theme a little more. Yeah. Okay, try now.
Hello?
Wow. Kyle, you fixed it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I do.
Wow. I am blown away by that.
You know what it is? It's modes. We have this snazzy board, and it's got different profiles.
Yeah, but some wiseacre put it in a different mode. And if I ever find that person, there is going to be hell to pay. Left it in conference mode. I don't know what that even is. Fortunately, you remember the training video, and you pressed the right buttons and got us back into this mode, whatever that is. And we can hear each other now.
Well, first of all, Jim Wiener does not pass failures, okay? And I passed.
That's right. That's right. Jim Wiener has a very low threshold of tolerance.
Yeah, you gotta make the mark. And if you don't, you're in a world of hurt.
That's right. Everybody here was trained by Jim Wiener. So
that's right.
We all have the Wiener certificate of authenticity.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that skill came in handy. We're now on the right mode. But what I gather happened is someone just came in, tried to do their show. They did it one way, then they didn't change it, and you're going to hunt them down. But
I will hunt them
naturally
down.
People just adapted. That's what you do.
I will find you.
But radio,
you're out there
people,
somewhere. I will find you.
Radio people just adapt. They move on. They carry on. They just go on with the show. And here we were about to do it crippled without my voice.
Well, you know, there's a couple of things here. You've already done two things since we walked in. We walked in, it was like 103 degrees in here for some reason,
okay,
too.
Okay,
apparently a tropical person came in here, turned the temperature up somehow to 103 degrees, and put the board in a different mode so that we couldn't talk to each other. But we defeated them because you climbed up to the ceiling and somehow opened up something to make cool air come through. Or actually, you just checked to make sure cool air was coming through by pressing some buttons on the wall.
Sort of, yeah.
It feels better already.
There was a controller involved. There was all kinds of, waving of my arms, standing on chairs. The point is, what exactly is the plan? We got all this new equipment. We've got a new studio, mm-hmm, and we are going to sizzle it all.
Apparently, we,
until the magic smoke comes out,
we need to get out of our own way first.
So what? Our chief engineer blows a gasket after he finds out all his hard work and everybody's contributions is for naught.
Well, we don't know.
Hello, people.
We don't know what caused the heat wave here.
I get that it's cold.
We don't know that yet.
Winter is coming. Mm-hmm. I get it, but we don't need to start bonfires in the studio to keep warm.
But you don't know that it was somebody at the state. It could have been a member of the alt-right, for all you know. You don't know who did it. You don't know. Until you have the facts, I don't think you should be speaking out of turn. Know your place. It's one thing I've learned in the last few months. Anyway, this is what happens. This is what happens. All good plans of mice and men and every other rodent there is. We have a basketball game coming up, 6:45. In fact, I just rescued the station also from something else, too. Apparently, when you go to our sports page, it automatically plays the radio station, and I almost played that over the air, too, and that would have been confusing because you would have – well, actually, I'll show you what you would have heard. You would have heard this. Game coming up, 6:45. In fact
– That's us.
Let me just – I just rescued the station also because it's playing the feed, and the feed is delayed by a few seconds.
That's through the sports stream.
But if you click on sports – on the WUSB.FM website, it automatically starts playing the station without asking you. And that's to me, is a no-no. So I'm going to try and get that fixed. But I just went to this page.
They don't need our plugs.
Well, it's our own website, Kyle, WUSB.FM. Everyone should go to that website. I just wanted to I'm told it's a men's basketball game tonight, which is great because we haven't had the men on for a while, and they're back. It starts at 6:45. You know what they left out of the schedule here? I can't believe this. I should have looked first, I guess, but they left out the opponents that they're playing. There's a whole schedule here of the entire broadcast, and it's just the day, the time, and the sport, and the date. The big thing, guys, is who you're playing. Imagine if the team didn't know who they were playing. A surprise. Maybe we'll find out, I guess.
Well, I know.
Wow.
I know it's not the Huskies. Because
who are the Huskies? Oh, that's
they're
Washington.
Not in the same league.
Okay, you know, it's,
or conference.
It sounds like we're being critical. We're not. We're just noticing things as we're trying to stumble through our show here. And
I hope the Sea Wolves. I hope they do all right. They're good guys.
Sea Wolves, not Sea Wolves.
The Sea Wolves.
Wolves.
Sea Wolves.
Okay, look. We learned something in Clemson. All right, we walked around the streets of Clemson. Boy, what a horrible town. I'm sorry. I say that only because I mean it. Well, I say that because we were there after the last game, like the day after the last game, and the town was a ghost town. Nobody cared anymore, and there were just these big tiger paw prints on the street because that's what they do. They paint that, and that could happen to Stony Brook. You could see seawolf prints if anybody ever figures out what they look like on the streets of Stony Brook, and maybe that town will be abandoned after the last game too. Let's hope not.
You know, I think – have you heard the idiom like one-trick pony? That's kind of what Clemson's about.
It's yes.
Like, they have their thing. Their thing is football.
Uh-huh.
It's going to become CTE research. But until then, it's going to be football.
Yeah. And they have a commercial radio station that just talks about Clemson sports. And they have a college station, too. But I just can't believe they're focused so much on that. Well, okay. I have something to say about sports, though, because there's some stuff going on that I think people should know about, and if you've been listening to this show since for the last 3 years or so, you might have noticed that we were covering a few tournaments in soccer overseas, and nobody else in this country was covering it, but we thought it'd be kind of interesting to do that. Now, the original idea was to follow a team from one of the lower tiers in English football as they competed in what's known as the Football Association Cup, or FA Cup, and they entered the tournament with 735 other teams. That's true. 735 other teams entered this tournament back in 2014. Now, with each game, they would either advance to the next round or their opponent would advance to the next round. Now, it was our hope that the team we picked at the very beginning would keep on winning and advance all the way to the final. And if they won the final, that means they would qualify for the next season's Europa League. And that's a competition of nearly 200 teams from all around Europe, all of whom had won some kind of championship in their home country the year earlier. And if they made it all the way to the Europa League final and won that, they then qualify for the Champions League the year after that. Now, the Champions League is like the Europa League, except the teams are even bigger champions, and there are around 80 of them, only around 80. And it was our hope that the team we had picked way back at the beginning would rise to the top of the Champions League and become the ultimate winner in 2017. Well, none of that happened. We had picked a level 10 team back in August 2014 named Nuneaton Grift just because Kyle liked the way the name sounded.
Yeah.
Can you say it again? Because you said it good.
Nuneaton Grift.
You said it with an accent.
Nuneaton Grift.
Yeah.
I think there's no T. I think you dropped a T.
There's a T in there.
There's a T, but you don't say the T.
Nuneaton.
Nuneaton Grift.
It's like Eaton Grift with a nun in front of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we picked that team just for that reason. They were in the lowest round, level 10. It's known as the extra preliminary round. That's how far back it is, the extra preliminary round. Our team lost that round, and they lost big, 10-0. And of the 368 teams that played in the extra preliminary round, only one lost by a bigger margin than our team. Nice going, Kyle. So our team was defeated by a level 9 team called Coles Hill Town, which we then followed into the preliminary round, where they went up against a level 10 team called Bromsgrove Sporting. This time, our team won, and we advanced to the first round qualifying in September 2014. We promptly lost to a level 7 team named Barwell, which we then followed into the second qualifying round, where they defeated a level 10 team called Norwich United. We followed Barwell into the third qualifying round in October, where they won again, this time beating another level 7 team named Curzon Ashton. So into the fourth round qualifying we went, cheering for Barwell, only to have them lose to a level 5 team named Altrincham. So we followed Altrincham into the first round proper in November against a level 7 team called Blyth Spartans, who surprisingly won. So in December, we were cheering for them as they played a level 4 team called Hartlepool United in the second round proper. And they won again, a level 7 team. Beating a level 4 team is a pretty big deal. So on we went into the third round proper in January 2015, where our level 7 Blyth Spartans were matched up against level 2's Birmingham City, a team some of you may have actually heard of. It didn't go well. Well, actually, it did. Blyth Spartans were the lowest ranked team in the tournament at that point, and they only lost to Birmingham City by a single goal. It was the closest to what's known as a giant killer that we had seen. So now we followed Birmingham City into the fourth round proper later that month, where they wound up losing to our first level 1 club, West Bromwich Albion. Now, we had gone from following a level 10 club to a level 1 club, which is almost always how these things wind up going. We followed West Bromwich Albion into the fifth round proper in February, where they beat another level 1 team you may have heard of, West Ham United. Okay, so now it's getting interesting. The next round in March was known as the sixth round proper, also known as the quarterfinals. Our team, West Bromwich Albion, played another level 1 club, Aston Villa, and lost. So we cheered for Aston Villa in the semifinals in April, where they beat another level 1 club known as Liverpool. And finally, the final saw our team, Aston Villa, play another level 1 club, Arsenal. And they lost. So Arsenal were the FA Cup champions in May of 2015, and the idea was to follow them into the Europa League the next season. But they outsmarted us by also finishing third in the Premier League, which is the normal league they're in when they play seasonal games. That got them a berth in the Champions League, which leapfrogged them over the Europa League entirely. You can't be in both at the same time. So because of that, another team wound up qualifying for the Europa League in their place. So we wound up following them instead. And that team was Level 1's Southampton. So fast forward to July 2015, when the first qualifying round for the Europa League started. Southampton was ranked high enough where they didn't have to play in that round or the second qualifying round. However, they did have to play in the third qualifying round against Vitesse from the Netherlands, who they defeated in August. That got Southampton to the playoff round, where they wound up losing to Denmark's Michelin. You knew how to pronounce that better than me, Kyle. Michelin? Yeah, Danish team. So we followed Michelin into the group stage, where they ended up in second place in Group D, which was enough for them to advance into the knockout phase. And in the round of 32 in February 2016, Michelin was unfortunate enough to be paired against England's Manchester United, where they predictably went down to defeat. So in March, we followed Manchester United into the round of 16, where they played Liverpool, the second time we had encountered that team. And Liverpool won this time, so we followed them into the quarterfinals, where they played Germany's Borussia Dortmund, and they won again. Into the Europa League semifinals, we went with our Liverpool playing Spain's Villarreal and winning again. And then, in the Europa League final, in May of 2016, Liverpool wound up losing to another Spanish team, Sevilla. So Sevilla wound up being the team that we would follow the next season into the Champions League and finally end this thing and come up with a team we could call champions after starting off with a lowly level 10 English team 2 years earlier. The first Champions League matches started the very next month, but our team was able to skip the first, second, and third qualifying rounds, as well as the playoff round. From September through November, Sevilla played in Group H of the group stage, finishing in second place, which was enough to get them into the knockout phase of the Champions League. Now, the round of 16 was played in February and March of this year, and Sevilla finally wound up losing to England's Leicester City, who we then followed into the quarterfinals. There, they wound up losing to Spain's Atletico Madrid, so we became Atletico Madrid fans for the semifinal, where they were pitted against their rivals, Real Madrid. And as has happened too many times, they lost. So with heavy hearts, we forced ourselves to cheer for Real Madrid in the final as they faced Italy's Juventus, and they won. So, after all that, starting with Level 10's Nuneaton Griff in August of 2014, we had gone down a road of games to crown a single champion, Real Madrid, in June 2017. It was over. Finally. Or so we thought, because apparently they just can't leave these things alone. Oh, sure, they had the Super Cup, which nobody has heard of and nobody really cares about who has heard of it. That's where the winner of the Champions League plays the winner of the Europa League, and Real Madrid wound up playing the 2017 Europa League champion Manchester United in August and defeating them. But that wasn't the end of the story. They have this thing called the Club World Cup. The Club World Cup, which they play every year in December. And what the Club World Cup is a mini World Cup that pits all the biggest champions from around the globe against each other. And instead of the 736 teams of the FA Cup or the 200 teams of the Europa League or the 80 teams of the Champions League, they have a total of seven teams. Seven. And instead of running from July to June, this one is over in 10 days. And it's happening right now. In addition to Real Madrid, participants are Grêmio from Brazil, Urawa Red Diamonds from Japan, Wydad Casablanca from Morocco, Pachuca from Mexico, Auckland City from New Zealand, and Al Jazeera from United Arab Emirates. And I don't know if it's the same Al Jazeera. It's spelled a little bit differently. I don't know if they're playing a news network. Auckland City, Urawa Red Diamonds, and Wydad Casablanca have already been eliminated, leaving only four teams. Now, Real Madrid is playing Al Jazeera tomorrow, and the game between Grêmio and Pachuca was today, and it was all tied up at the end of regulation. So the winner of that goes into the final as well. Saturday, we'll have the final. The winner of tomorrow's game plays winner of today's game, and then and only then will this long saga finally come to an end. If I ever do anything like this again, Kyle, please stop me, because I thought it would be fun. I thought it would just be a lot simpler, and I thought Nuneaton Griff would go all the way.
I'll add it to the list.
Please do. All right, that's our show for today. we have more to talk about, but I wanted to get that off my chest.
It's funny, though, like when you recount it all, you would not have known, you wouldn't be the wiser that this entire thing was going on. It's just, it does not register on sort of mainstream sports in so far as what's covered in this country. It's amazing. I mean, it's going on. Everybody in the world's watching. They're following it throughout all these different tournaments and in different locations and so on and so forth. We don't even keep track of our own soccer players. It's kind of kind of pathetic, in a, if you really think about it. But, you know, it's great that it just sort of carries on in its own right, regardless of the hype. We know that as far as leagues and the prevalence of soccer, it's out there. It's definitely something people enjoy and partake in this country, and it's getting more and more popular. But it's amazing how all of that went on, and I, you know, you wouldn't you wouldn't, like I said, be the wiser.
Well, you know, I can guarantee, yes, nobody cared about that in this country, probably. Very few people did. But even amongst the people who did care about it in other countries, nobody covered it like that. Nobody followed a team and the teams that beat that team all throughout 3 years of tournaments. But the reason we did it was to kind of illustrate how these things work. It's an interesting method they have of relegation and promotion just in the regular season. Usually the bottom teams go down to a lower league after a season, and the champions of one league move up to the next highest one. And similar things go on internationally. And everybody agrees to the rules and the methods of all that. It's really interesting to watch. But I think I've played it out. I think I've gotten about as much out of this as anyone possibly could. But yeah, the final is Saturday. And, you know, it's my hope that Real Madrid, I'm sorry, I know I'm not supposed to say this because we're supposed to be rooting for Real Madrid, but I don't like Ronaldo. I just don't like him. He's a jerk. They always win. And they always beat Atletico Madrid. I don't like that either. So it's my hope that whoever won today's game, whether it's the Mexican team or the Brazilian team, you know what? Or maybe Al Jazeera tomorrow will kick their ass and eliminate Real Madrid in the semifinal. Who knows? I don't know how good a news network can do against a number one football team. But, you know, fingers crossed. We'll find out by next week.
Yeah, I mean, hey, good on them for diversifying.
There are other things going on in the world. Yes, today is 12/12, the 12th day of December. It's Election Day in Alabama, and everybody is talking about this. Before I look at the news, because I think exit polls are starting to come in, of course, we're talking about the special election for senator between a child molester and a Democrat. Apparently for some people, that's a no-brainer because they have no brain.
Is that a political party, the child molester party?
It might as well be at this point. It might as well be. But can I just say, we have traveled. We have been all over the country this year, twice, in fact. We took the train ride out to the West Coast and wound up renting a car in New Orleans, going up to see the eclipse. And we stopped in Birmingham. I'm sorry, it's Birmingham in England. It's Birmingham here. We stopped in Birmingham on the way back. And then more recently, we drove a truck from Florida to New York, and we stopped in Montgomery. Both times, those stops were out of the way. We made it our mission to go to Alabama because we were curious about the place. And what did you think of it, either time or both times?
I think definitely, like, you have to get in the mindset, like, there's a lot of, you know, like, billboard advertising that has a moral twist, I guess. I guess that's the sort of simple way of putting it. But basically, guilting you about one or the other thing that God does or doesn't think about you. And that's just incredibly common. It's not just, like, a church advertisement. It's the kind of thing that's, like, just ever present, it seems, and that's the kind of soliciting you see just everywhere. I mean, it's, you know, alongside, you know, all these sort of regular businesses and that kind of thing you'd see in small towns, chains or whatnot. But that seems to be a really important part of the messaging there, and the radio definitely backed that up. As far as, you know, we were basically seeking refuge on NPR stations, which we would not ordinarily do.
Yeah, but in fairness, that's true of so many states down there. I mean, Florida had billboards. Florida had all kinds of religion being shoved down your throat. And the radio sucked in very many places.
Well, you asked.
Yeah, but it wasn't unique to Alabama. And in fact, in Alabama, we were able to find some decent radio as well. As I think we mentioned, we didn't see a single Roy Moore sign anywhere. I know that the places we went to, people were nice. People were, you know, not a bunch of, I don't know how they are. People aren't stupid down there, basically. And I think that's the problem. A lot of us in various parts of the country that are not Alabama think they are. And yeah, there are stupid people everywhere. Believe me, there are stupid people in New York, there are stupid people in California.
There's lots of stupid people in New York.
But I think we pay more attention to the stupid people down there, and we give them more of a voice than they deserve. And there are so many good, smart people there as well that aren't being heard. And that my hope, my prediction, based a lot on hope, is that those smart people will turn out today and tonight and show that Alabama is not a lost cause, that they do have you know, common sense and know when one choice is better than another choice, because, you know, it really is hard. It really is hard to figure out why anybody would want to vote for this guy unless you just didn't like the other guy. And it's also really hard to figure out why the other guy is considered so bad. It's not like he's going to force people to get abortions, all right? It's not like he's going to open up Alabama's border with Iran and have everybody pour into the country. You know, there's all kinds of things that people are voicing strong emotions about that are irrelevant to this election. I just think it would be really, really good for Alabama to say, yeah, we know the difference between right and wrong, and we did the right thing. And for the rest of the country to acknowledge that. And maybe then we can, you know, we can move forward together instead of all this polarization, which, you know, the polarization is how we got into this in the first place. You know, we talked about this all last year about how nobody's going to vote for Trump. And we were so wrong because there were so many people out there. And I think so many of them voted for him just as a reaction against that smugness and against being told what was better and what they should do. And one thing I know about people in Alabama is they don't like to be told what to do. You know, we tried telling people what to do and they didn't like it at all.
Yeah, but also I think the effect of like a lot of years of progressive change, African-American president, these things were also part of that resentment that created the outcome that we saw, to say nothing of the espionage or whatever, meddling, I guess, is what we alleged meddling. But the point is, I think it's not a foregone conclusion that these places are voting one way or the other. The even with gerrymandering, you can have places surprise you. That's the nature of our system. And I think the messaging in this case was really strong. I read some interesting articles by Nate Silver, who's that statistician guy, and he was basically breaking down the polling and like the differences between robocalls and in-person calls and online surveys, and you know, did a pretty in-depth analysis of it and noted the factors that would or would not help Doug Jones and Roy Moore in his scenario. There are differing scenarios for the both of them, but it would be profound for a Democrat to take Alabama in this Senate race, and a worthy or a worthwhile victory, I think, for Democrats who kind of need to get some wins in these areas.
I totally agree with that, but I do think that that the pundits and you know, everyday people are way over exaggerating the momentousness of a Democratic victory. Yeah, okay, it's been 25 years since a Democrat won there. Okay, you know, that's not that long a period of time. And if a Democrat won there, you know, it wouldn't change the world all that much. It would change the country a bit, probably rescue us from some, you know, going over some cliffs. But it's not going to change the people there. And I think by making it seem like such a dramatic change, oh, my God, they might elect a Democrat. You know, it's kind of like, oh, this is Satan. You know, we're about to elect Satan. We better go with the guy that we know, even if he is a creep. So I think it kind of plays into that. And we need to basically say, you know what? He's just another Alabama. This guy comes from Alabama. You know, Doug Jones comes from Alabama. He's one of you. He just has some slightly different opinions, maybe. I mean, from everybody, I'm sure. And if you look at it that way, then it's not so so out of the question to vote for him over the other guy, even if the other guy is in your party.
It would, you know, and I think just in hearing that, I think it would be like, it would be more, I think, harrowing for Democrats to win on an issue like jobs and opportunity in a state like Alabama, and just sort of prove the Republicans' record as not providing for the type of people they say they're going to help, which we just really haven't seen the sort of precipitous action, at least for the kinds of jobs that we'll be hiring in the future. But unfortunately, this is the kind of race that we're in, and it's going to be about whether it's good or evil in the eyes of the voters. And I guess if a moral fight is what the Republicans want, then they're going to get it. And you know, I don't care how many horses Mr. Moore rides on, it's It's going to be surprising if things go that way.
Well, it's going to be, I think, worse for the Republicans if he wins than if he loses. If he loses, they just have some more battles to fight with Democrats, which, you know, might make them look good to their supporters. If he wins, who are they embracing? Who are these ugly, evil people that they keep voting into office? But of course, you know, I said the same thing about Trump, that, it'd be better for the Democrats if he won than it would be for the Republicans, because he would just make things so bad. And, you know, I think Nadler is right. He has made things so bad, and a lot is being taken away, but he's not losing the support. And I guess I kind of underestimated the level of support that his followers have for him, the almost manic level of support where he can do no wrong at all.
Yeah. And like, I think the rhetoric from Moore is just absolute righteousness. Like, he really believes he's going to win. And he is like, you know, a moral barometer in this. And it's like absolutely complete denial of like reality and the sort of perceptions that are floating around.
Just hearing some of the things that are said in his defense. You know, these are people that want him to win, that think they're saying things to help him. And just to give you a couple of examples off the top of my head, comparing him to Jesus or comparing him to the parents of Jesus, who his mother was 14 or something, basically saying that Roy Moore going after 14-year-old, it's kind of like how Christianity got started, you know, no big deal. Another person saying, I know lots of parents who would be thrilled to have some 32-year-old district attorney pursuing their 14-year-old daughter. And then just yesterday, what is it, his wife saying that, no, they're not prejudiced. In fact, our lawyer is a Jew. You know, things like that. They don't realize how that sounds, what kinds of people that makes them, and only underlines the perceptions.
Completely tone deaf. But, you know, and the thing is, another thing about, like what you said, is them winning, if he wins a seat, him proving that he's got something other than this as something he can actually act on. I mean, yeah, if he wins, he'll try to do something abhorrent to sort of toe or make good on some pipe dream of Trump's, or at least something that's sort of a token attempt. But he's failed at so many things, like, you know, with the Ten Commandments thing, and he's not exactly got a record of accomplishing all that much. And after this, I mean, is he really going to have support? Is he going to be a change actor if he was a senator? You know, were he in that position, would he be someone that the people in Alabama actually want to work with and get behind in light of all of this? You know, will the dust settle, I guess, is my question. And is he, I mean, gosh, he's, is he really... Does he have a mandate? Does he have like a real platform to get excited about? If we were just to sort of eliminate the whole molesting children thing, why exactly? And any kind of religious or sort of righteous moral legislation or something on a divisive issue like abortion or whatever that's a hot button, you know, will he like, you know, manage things? Will he get initiatives for employment? I mean, there's not much else that that he's had the space to actually communicate. So therefore, like, I don't think very many people feel as though he's got much to offer, because he hasn't even been able to say it other than, talking about his righteousness or religious position and innocence. But, you know, where's the beef, I guess, is kind of what I'm saying.
I'm kind of glad this wasn't talked about, because I think the Republicans could have had a good strategy if they had just said this out loud. Now that the election is ending, I can say it now and they won't use it. But basically, I think a good tactic for them would have been to say, you know what, elect this guy. And as soon as he gets elected, we're going to kick him out. The Republicans will kick him out. And then your Republican governor will appoint another Republican to replace him. Everybody wins. You know, they could have said that and everybody would have voted for him then, I think. Fortunately, they didn't think of that. And maybe, Doug Jones has a chance. I don't know. We'll see.
Doug Jones.
Yes.
Doug Jones.
We have our first exit polls, and it doesn't look good. Two Lawrence County poll inspectors called Morning Voter Turnout Steady. An early exit poll showed former Chief Justice Roy Moore with a sizable lead at 10.06 a.m. Keep in mind, this is one county and it's early in the morning. 138 voters had cast their ballots at the county's largest precinct, the Lawrence County Board of Education office on Market Street in Moulton. The poll inspector there said the votes were coming in a steady stream at Moulton City Hall, Precinct 24, Box 1. Poll inspector Doris Evans said her polling site had 35 voters by 9:55 a.m. There have been no lines, but it has been steady. A 35-minute exit poll at the Lawrence County Board of Education office polling site showed Moore with 14 votes, Doug Jones with 3 votes, and one write-in vote for Auburn University running back Kerryon Johnson, of Madison. Well, we can cross our fingers on that one. 5 voters had no comment. The poll was conducted from 10:10 a.m. to 10:45 a.m. You know, none of that really matters at this point. What matters is what the whole state says, and we'll know that later tonight. Hey, we're almost out of time because basketball is about to start, but I want to read a couple of listener emails.
And, oh, is this about pronunciation?
Well, yeah.
Okay, I have a comment about this.
Well, why don't you let me read the letter first, and then you can comment on it.
Well, why don't you get on with reading
it? It's also the second letter, so let me read the first letter.
You know, sports is going to come in here and kick you off.
I know that.
Yeah, hurry up.
If we don't get this started now.
They look mean.
Actually, you know, we have to do this in 1 minute. So Paul writes in, the soccer team is the only one, talking about the Leipzig soccer team, because we mentioned that last week. Soccer team is the only one in the Bundesliga from former East Germany, Bundesliga being the top division. And that's interesting. Only one team from the former East Germany is in the top division. All the rest are from the former West Germany. This is a letter from John. I've basically writing in because I was upset when I listened to the last broadcast on Tuesday. Both you and Kyle mispronounced Leipzig. I'm sure I'm probably still doing it. It should be articulated as Z in pizza and G as H. Okay, I'm not really sure how that works. I like Germany a lot. My grand-grandpa, I guess that's like a great-grandpa, was a soldier, but I like him anyway. Please tell Kyle how to pronounce Leipzig in a correct way. Maybe you can look at that and figure out how to do it.
I will say that you did tell me, and I was told, because I got this email too, so that's fulfilled. I've been told. And I think it's interesting that the critique is on the end pronunciation, because I was, you know, going, I was thinking it was lie or leap. And, you know, focusing on that part. But it's interesting that the contention is over the last part of the word. Doesn't matter what the first part is. I'm sure there is a contentious debate over that. But I'll say Leipzig, but it's not Leipzig, okay? You can't.
No.
You risk going into that territory, and you don't want to do that.
Okay, we are out of time. We're going to be in whatever it's called.
Leipzig.
You know, this is the 37th anniversary of the release of The Clash's Sandinista.
Leipzig.
So we're going to go out with a song from that three vinyl record set, where every song is good.
Leipzig.
And this is one that you probably haven't heard. It's worth listening to the entire thing. Stay tuned for men's basketball against a mystery team, and we'll be back next week with the results. Good night.
See you in Leipzig. We'll be right back.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Stony Brook Seawolves men's basketball. Taking on the Hofstra Pride tonight, live from the Island Federal Credit Union Arena, Joe Cacavalli and Jacob Semkin.
Thank you, Matt. That's right. We are live here on this Tuesday night from Island Federal Credit Union Arena. It is the battle for the island as Stony Brook men's basketball takes their home court to take on the Pride of Hofstra. Joe Cacavalli, Jacob Semkin here for you guys, and Jacob, the Seawolves team.